All right. Thank you, everyone. So we are moving on with the next talk. We're going to talk about API terms of service. Unfortunately, Celia couldn't join us. She's ill at home, but maybe can offer herself to give the talk. So yeah, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Actually, it was a joint talk between Celia and I, so you will only have half of the talk, but 100% of the content, right? So yeah, my name is Mehdi Mejawea. I did many things in API space, wrote books, organized conferences, and one of the projects I've been working on is this one that I'm actually really proud to have started, and I would love to have your feedback after the session on this. So first, who in the room had issues with term of services of APIs, you know, application breaking or business model changing or stuff like that? You know, some of people here. Was it Twitter? Google Maps? Other? No? MongoDB API versus? No? Okay, so we'll explore that together. So the idea was to try to be inspired. We've been actually highly inspired by a project called Term of Service Didn't Read. I don't know if you know this project. It's a group of people who read term of services because nobody reads them, right? Except lawyers. But nobody reads them and say, we will read them and we will tag them and we will show simply if they are risky or not for your data or if they respect you as a user, right? It's a really hard work. They have been doing that over the last 10 years. And we said, okay, but for APIs, actually, there is for software, there is also a big risk. You know, when you don't read, what will happen to the software, right? And the policy around the software. So we kind of forked philosophically their project to do API term of service didn't read, right? And actually, you can see Celia here, Benjamin III, owner of the project, who is an open source lawyer, as you can call it like that, right? So just to say, the project has been supported by the Ford Foundation, the Mozilla Foundation, the Open Society Foundation, as part of a grant to make more the digital infrastructure more open source and more safe and trustworthy. So just to mention that. So where does the problem come from? We can take the example of Twitter, but we can take so many others, right? But just the example of Twitter. 2012, Twitter has a vibrant ecosystem. You know, thanks to their API, a lot of developers are able to re-syndicate Twitter content and make great client applications on web, on mobile. But Twitter now has some investors who say, we want to keep the money, we want to keep the ads, right? We want to keep the ads. So if we re-syndicate the data to others, we can't push them ads and get money. So we will kill the Twitter ecosystem by changing abruptly term of services. It was really abrupt. We estimate that more than 300,000 applications died from developers who invested their time and energy and stuff. So really a big fiasco in the Twitter ecosystem. But a platform is good as its ecosystem, right? So in 2015, say, oh my God, like we killed all their ecosystem, developers are unhappy. The CEO of Twitter say, oh, sorry, developers, right? We reopen the term of services, right? We'll reopen, please come back. We want to reset relations. Okay, let's reset relations, right? They update the term of services, make it more open, right? 2018, boom, they destroy apps again by killing the API that most of them use, claiming they have to update the backend, right? You know, so that was their claim. Say, oh, it's a legacy API, you know, but we will not offer new versions, right? And 2023, after the Elon Musk acquisition, now APIs are extremely costly. And some research, for example, who are used to have an API for free, now last year they had to pay $100, and now it's more than $40,000 to access Twitter API for research. Right, so just to give you like how unstable it can be when you rely on someone else. As for software open source, as for companies opening their digital infrastructure APIs, when there is not stability, trust, you know, it's really hard to trust each other, right? When an API is not stable, when people break API all the time, you may have known how Facebook was breaking so many APIs, how Google has shut down many, many other APIs, how Netflix stopped their API to developers. You know, so many different ideas, so many different stories behind that. So we thought, how we can be inspired by someone who can claim promises and keep these promises in the future? Actually, we have been inspired by Creative Commons, So you're familiar with Creative Commons, right? You know, CC by, you know, all these licenses. It's really easy to produce and really easy to understand. So this is where we started. We say, okay, can we build a Creative Commons pattern for APIs, right? You know, so that's the idea. Of course, it has, it's not just for copyright, it has more degrees of liberty. But let's see how the research have been made and what's the result, right? Yeah, and as I said, for research, now it's really like $42,000 a month, right? Of course, claiming that they want to avoid the AI, to learn from the Twitter data, but still, $42,000 when you're a researcher doing great stuff on social media information, that begins to be expensive, right? But it will not be the academics who will pay the $44 billion Elon Musk pay, right? You know, so it's not the academics to pay, in my opinion, at least this amount. So yeah, how we can leverage API term of services for more trustworthy digital ecosystem. So, here I would mostly talk about web APIs. You know, we have the software API, Linux API, Android APIs, whatever. It has also the same idea that APIs needs to be stable over time and trustworthy, but let's say this one, there is also the infrastructure behind it. So when you rely on it, you want it to be real time. You want to access the data directly. So I'm talking of these ones which are, let's say, more tied to instant feedbacks and issues, right? And the term of services, just for the definition, the term of services are the legal contract attached to the consumptions of these APIs. So if I consume one API from a software provider as a service, you know, that he hosts actually the service behind the APIs, he will attach a legal document who say you can use this API this number of time, this number of time per day, per month. This is what you are allowed to do with my API. You know, some people consider not like in open source, but that APIs can have limited use. You know, for example, Google Maps does not allow you to consume Google Maps to do another map services. Right, just an example, right? Can be obvious for business reasons, but this is not freedom, right? This is not the freedom to consume the data the way we want, right? We have the open data movement that allows that. But let's say this term of services is really a contract attached to the consumption of an API, and you should read it. I really advise you to read it. So this is what we call the term of services. And it has many degrees of liberty on the reuse, on the license, on the specs, on so many things. And so the idea is to, and one of our other assumptions is that I've read the API term of services is the biggest lie of the programmable web, right? Nobody reads them. And it's really the worst when you know something is wrong by your users and not by your provider. So we made a survey across 200 experts in the API industry. You know, as a side thing, I organize API Days conferences, which is the main series of conferences on APIs worldwide. And so, yeah, 40% believe that 42% never check API changes. You know, they never check in their code or whatever. They just learn it when it's down, right? So 42%. So that's just to say it's quite a lot. 25% say they have a read approximately the term of services, you know. They say, okay, I read them, and 23% like a little bit more, you know, when they have business constraints in bank or whatever. And 30% consider they never have interactions with the provider of the API. You know, so they, I just want to go there, look at the developer portal, read the docs, sign up, get my key or my token, and integrate, right? I don't want to spend more time on this. And so the most of the time when they know an API is broken or doesn't work, it's by email. 70% of people just learn that by email. So there's really this issue, this promise, and this constant communication that's really a problem in these things, right? We also tried a new idea in the API space, which is the idea of copyleft. Of course, copyleft is not new in the open source world, but in API space, it's quite new. Imagine if you consume an API that has a specific license, all the API you provide should have the same license. No. So that's complete something new in the API space. Everybody believes that it's digital infrastructure. You know, it's not like text or software, like cold software. Now it's hot. We have running software on servers. But imagine if you consume an API from an academic institution, because they have great data, you have to, all your APIs, even for business reasons, we need to have the same license. So it's something we tried. Didn't convince the majority of people, but at least we tried to explore that idea, right? And just to finish on the context, with all the interviews and surveys, we've seen that there's also a lot of pressure from the providers because of business and strategic decisions. Actually, when an API product manager and developers publish APIs in a business environment, the lawyers come and say, look, what did you expose? What's the license on this? And then they write this really huge and long and boring term of service contract. And actually, the lawyers don't understand so much the tech. So there is this miscommunication between the two that makes the text really complex with many, many protections, which is not good when you want to consume something to generate a nice application, right? So we've seen also about how people can be completely dependent. You know, if you build something on Twitter or X.com, they're the only provider of Twitter.com data or X.com data. It's really hard for you to compete to go for someone else. Imagine you want an SMS, an API for SMS? There are Twilio, there are Vonage, there are many, many others. Like there are plenty of them, right? There is also a really important aspect when someone has a monopoly of their content or data or infrastructure. It's really hard, right? But the only opposite, I just want to show you also that when you have a stable API over time, it can be part of your success too. Just example of Amazon Web Services. You know, so Werner Vogels, the CTO of Amazon Web Services, used to say, we had only chance to make it right, so we spent a lot of time designing our APIs. And the APIs actually never really changed deeply. Of course, they're adding more stuff because they knew people will rely on them. So this trustworthiness in the digital infrastructure space is extremely important. You know? So but how we can make more people aware of making this more transparent? So we interviewed like API providers, you know, when the API is being developed, when they reach the legal department, when they're reviewed by industry standards, when the term of service are documented, when the term of service needs to be updated, you know, there's a full life cycle, right? So how we tell people. So we did all these interviews. And then we, based on this, the final result was that 69% people wanted to make more trust, enhance the trust between the providers and the consumer, right? 65% wanted to simplify it, mostly to simplify it, and 42% believe that it's a promise that enabled to have larger ecosystem, right? And just to give you another hint, Gartner, you know, the consulting company, really expensive one, but say that companies who are able to demonstrate a safe and trustworthy ecosystem have 50% more chance to attract application developer, right? So we see approximately these numbers. And so we, based on that, we also, as I say, was inspired by Creative Commons. You know, did you already use this quick it's not a form, but it's a quick wizard. You know, just check, do you allow adaptation of your work? Yes, no. Yes, as long as it's share alike. Do you allow commercial use? Yes or no. Boom, you have your license. So actually, it's really two clicks to generate your license. Two clicks, just simple. And you have a license for copyright that everybody can understand, right? You have the logos on the right and everything. So based on that, based on the conclusion I shared with you, based also on some other project like Script Immanent, OpenEthics, TOSDR, API Commons from Kinlane, and a specific expert of the industry, we decided to do the same, right? We decided to do the same, and this is the framework at the end. It's more complex than Creative Commons, because Creative Commons has less degrees of liberty about copyright. We went at the beginning from 18 degrees of decisions, right? And we reduced it to actually 5, which are: Do I allow access to my API to some people or to everyone? Like what we call API neutrality, you know, like the no gatekeeper policy. Do I allow my competitors to use my API? Right? Amazon Web Services, they they allow competitors to use Amazon Web Services. Competitors don't want to go there, but they would allow it, right? Just to give you an idea. Right? There is also the specification, you know, the design and the specification, my OpenAPI document, right, or OpenAPI specification. Do I allow it to be reused, reconsumed, copied, whatever? Another one is what we call the ethical data policy. Yeah. Oh, I think it's less than that, but okay. The ethical data policy, do I allow reuse of the content? In what context I allow the reuse of the content? The loyal output policy is mostly about the breaking change. You know, how do I pre-warn you before I do a change, I deprecate a version? It's important. Most of the company who are fair give 3 months to warn when something can change. Some company go up to 1 year by contract to tell you, you know, when we make a breaking change, we will tell you 1 year in advance. Or at least we will keep the existing version for 1 year. That's better, right? That's better than no notice, right? And the last one is reference and attribution. You know, you will see some people allow you to consume their API as long as you say, okay, this data was provided by University of Brussels, or this data has been provided by this academia or this company. I offer you kind of the data and the API and the service for free. Do you allow attribution, right? And we believe it's always better when it's when there is attribution. So we set the type of logo in this. And I will just show you a demo about how it works. So you can go on apitoast.org when it's the page of the project. We have a really, really long report because we have been, the funders wanted a report. But you can start the wizard. Okay, and then this is the wizard you have. Again, we really tried to reduce to 5 questions. Again, at the beginning, it was 18 questions, so that was too much. So the fair use policy, the fair use policy and the fair law change policy, you can go further, but this one you're obliged, we consider to be a fair API, you know, to be a fair API, which we call FACT, the fair API commit